Oh dear. Dear, 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 dear. Yes, the rumor is true. The rumor is true. Yes, indeed. I opened Sunday school talking about Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. That's a first. I opened Sunday school talking about Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. What do Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga have in common? The answer is, according to their own testimony and their own lyrics of that Oscar-winning composition and song, the name of the song is Shallow. But according to that lyric, they are both longing for change. They know something's not right. The lyrics include this idea that they want more, that they're searching for something else. They want change. As you might have guessed from Sunday school and from our readings, this is Transfiguration Sunday. And the Greek word that we find in several of the texts that we're going to look at is metamorpho, change. Meta, change of form. The title of our sermon is Epiphany's Pinnacle. Epiphany's Pinnacle, a high point. We're going to start in Luke in chapter 9 and read this passage. As he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered. His clothing became dazzling white. Behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure. The old King James says decease there. They spoke of his death. In the ESV here, it is departure. In the Greek, that word is exodus. They spoke of his exodus, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your word and its application for us. We pray you would help us to see it, to believe it, to be partakers of it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to zoom out here because this is the very last Sunday after Epiphany. It all began, you remember, a week after Christmas where there was a bright star in the sky and the wise men were following that star. Wise men from the east who came and they said, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have come to worship him." A bright star. Epiphany is about the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the King, to the nations. And those wise men from the east were representing the kings of all of the world, all of the nations come, and Christ is revealed. He's manifested as the King. That manifestation is now bookended here. It began with those wise men and with that star over Bethlehem. And it's bookended, ending here on the Mount of Transfiguration. And all through this time, we've been talking about Jesus being manifested to the whole world. I remember one of the sermons was even about extra mile grace to the guy next door, reaching out to others. It's bookended here with this dazzling brightness on the Mount of Transfiguration. It began with the star of Bethlehem, and here on the top of this mountain, Jesus, in the other parallel passage, it says that his face was shining as the sun in its brightness. We're still zooming out here because up ahead, a little bit beyond this, in the whole journey of that the New Testament gives us of the life and the death of Jesus Christ, up ahead, right after this, we enter Lent. We enter his passion. We enter Lent. We enter his exodus, as it says in verse 31. He's on that Mount of Transfiguration, and that is right at the precipice, right at the point where he's going to step into his passion, his exodus, his departure. We know it meant that his decease, his crucifixion. Luke has 24 chapters, but even here in chapter 9, not even halfway through the gospel, we're already at a point where the majority of the book is going to be about his passion, his death, and his resurrection. We're only in chapter 9. But before we get to the end of this chapter, if we go to verse 51, just a couple of verses after this, and when the days drew near for him to be taken up, this is not only being taken up onto the cross and die, but also to be ascended into heaven. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's the big zooming out picture of where we are here. But zooming back in, both Matthew and Mark use the word metamorpho for what takes place in their accounts to describe what is taking place on this mount we call the Mount of Transfiguration. We get the word transfigured from that word metamorpho, change of form. As we said in Sunday school, Luke does not use that word. Good reason why he didn't use it. Luke was speaking to the Greeks, and the Greeks had all of their pagan stories, and they would have these gods, so to speak, with a little g, and these gods would actually use the word metamorpho in relation to them. So he didn't want to think that Jesus was just like one of those pagan gods, the multitude of the pagan gods. So Luke wisely avoids the word metamorpho, but he's talking about the same thing. Instead, he uses the word egenito heteron, meaning becoming different. We get in the translation, he was altered. His face was altered. It became different. And then we saw that his clothes were dazzling white. The Greek word there is ex extracto, flashing forth. Just like in other places, we would see lightning bolts and a flash of lightning. That's the appearance of what's happening on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's no doubt that this is a literal and a figurative high point in the ministry of Jesus, a pinnacle, if you will, in his ministry, and that it made a powerful impact on the disciples. Look at 2 Peter in chapter 1. This is some 30 years later, Peter is still writing about this. We did not follow the cleverly devised mist that we had made known unto you, the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and a voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mount. 30 years later, Peter is recounting how important this Mount of Transfiguration was. Not only for Jesus, to encourage Jesus to be able to endure and to be able to abide the passion that was ahead of him, but for the disciples. It was that powerful for them. Of course, all of this means that Jesus is the new Moses. And the discerning reader would certainly understand that that's exactly what's going on here. He's the new Moses, complete with a new exodus, right? He's about to accomplish his exodus. He's the new lawgiver. And just like Moses, as he is dealing with God the Father on this mountain, his face is radiant. Remember our passage from Exodus 34 and 29. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, Jesus is the new Moses, there's a new Exodus, there's a new law that Jesus has given us, and oh, by the way, Moses' face was shining brightly too. What we need to know is that metamorpho or transfiguration is a part of our inheritance in Christ. It's not just about Jesus. It's about our inheritance. In Romans in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I want us to see this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's metamorpho. That's the same word that's translated transfigured. It's the same Greek word, metamorpho. And it's about you and me, that we are to be metamorphosed, if I could use that phrase, by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. When our boys were growing up, this is probably 25 years ago, there was this brand new series of toys, and they were called Transformers. I think they ended up making a movie out of it. They were kind of like Legos that were all kind of screwed together, maybe, and you could manipulate them, and really, they really were remarkable. You would have something that looks like a fire engine, and then when you know, it's not a Rubik's Cube, but it kind of functioned the same way, only it completely changes its shape. You just don't twist it and turn it all around, but you pull here and you push in there and just lift this over and slide that over. And all of a sudden, this fire truck looks like a person. Something completely different. It's a transformer. Raise your hand if you're familiar with what I'm talking about, please, somebody. Okay, a transformer. And they made a movie about it. And there was a song, right? Transformers, right? More than meets the eye. Who remembers that jingle? More than meets the eye. You know what that means? If metamorpho is true of me and you, we are more than meets the eye. There's something operative in us that allows us to be so changed that, yeah, you know what? I mean, here we go again. I look a little different than I used to look a couple of months ago with my hair, but you know what? In the sense of where it really matters, those of us who know Christ, those of us who are trusting in Him, have this process going on in us such that we are radically different. And I may look very much like the same Jim Dujac who walked this earth back when he was 16 and 20 years old, but I am completely different. And so are you. We are more than what meets the eye. And in Sunday school, we detail what a transformed life looks like. And it begins with us, and it works its way out. And it manifests itself in every single area of our life. Christians, indeed, are a very special and unique group of people. The Bible talks in another place about eternal life and abundant life. We have it. We live it. Remember 2 Corinthians in chapter 3? This was a part of our reading. Verses 12 through 14, we'll start there. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses. We're not trying to put this light, this transformation under a bushel, so to speak, okay? To this day, they were ready, when they read the Old Testament, that the same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. This transformation that we're talking about and its manifestation in our lives and its manifestation to the world only happens through Christ. I can go back to Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. They're asking the right questions. They have all the right longings, but they have no, without Christ, they don't get the deep life that they're looking for. They can talk about they're far from the shallow, but they're just in a different area of the shallow water if they're not in Christ. The deep change only comes through Jesus Christ. Only through Christ is the veil really taken away. Look at verse 16 of this passage. But when one turns to the Lord, then the veil is removed. It's like you got this transformer here and it's in a package, right? Well, unless it's open here, unless we're in Christ, this transformer stays in the box, and it all stays the same. How about verse 18 of this passage? Look at this verse. And we all, with unveiled face, are now beholding the glory of the Lord, are being metamorphosed. There it is again. Into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I want to stay with this verse for a little bit. It says, we all. Package has been opened. We have this glory. We have this glory that is shining forth. We all are being transformed, metamorphosed. We all are being transformed into the same image. That's the word icon again. We saw that a little bit in our Thursdays, and we saw it last time in our preaching. We're an image, an icon of Jesus Christ. We are to look like the Lord Jesus Christ. This idea of a transformer here is, you know what, before we are Christians, we don't look very much like Jesus Christ. But when we come to faith, when Christ is born in us, we are transformed and we look like Him. And we are to look like Him increasingly. And then earlier today, just moments ago, we installed these officers. And yes, they have a particular job to do. I read for you what their jobs were. I read for you what their duties were. But we all, every one of us, have this same calling to look more like Jesus Christ. I could stop here and say, are you increasingly looking like Him? Are you increasingly looking like Jesus Christ, having been transformed from what you looked like before to now having someone who has actions like His, someone who has an attitude like He had, someone who has motivations the way Jesus was motivated? My meat is to do the will of God. What gave me energy, what gave me life, what motored my boat was to do the will of God. What made me tick was to glorify Him. And do we look like Jesus Christ in terms of our outreach and our love and our compassion? Over and over, we go through the New Testament where He looked upon this person and He loved them. He looked upon them and He had compassion upon them. Does your life look like that? Does my life look like that? That's a part of this metamorpho that we're talking about. Remember Romans in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. By the way, the book of Romans is the most generic of all the gospel presentations. St. Paul opens it and he says, I declare unto you the gospel of God. It's really for everybody. It was written to Rome, but it's for everybody. It's for me and it's for you. It's the most generic of the gospel presentations, the gospel of God. And he says here in this first verse, he says, brothers. He doesn't say, this is for you deacons. He doesn't say, this is for you elders. This is for everybody. And if you look at the Greek here, it really means brothers and sisters. So no one is excluded. And that means every single one of us are appealed to, and every single one of us are called to this. And the call to transformation begins with the negation of the call to conformity. You young people, probably no one hears the call to conformity more acutely than you do. I want to do what everybody else is doing. I want to do what my classmates are doing. I want to do what my peers are doing. I want to do what the young people are doing. I want to do what I see on TV. Us older folks aren't exempt from that. We're the same way. Hopefully we have an identity such that we are not as motivated by those things as some of the youngsters are. But the first call to duty, to this idea of being transformed into the icon or the image, the picture of Jesus Christ, is to negate conformity to the world. That's what this verse says. Be not conformed to the world. Don't do that. Do not be pressed into their mold. Last week, as a part of the sermon, I said, you know what? We would just make so much progress if we would all just stop playing the victim card. You very much fit into the mold of the world if you play the victim. But step one is this idea of the negation of the call to conformity. Stop that. We have this ministry, this calling. The world would have us do things in a certain way. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, right? The world would have us do this in the same old slippery, fashionable, dishonest way. This is true for all of us. Of course it's true for the leadership here, but in this passage here, having this ministry, all of us, by the mercy of God, we don't lose heart. And you know what? We have to renounce that conformity. Whether we're an elder, whether we're a deacon, we're all priests, we're brothers and sisters. Let us not endeavor to do it with worldly wisdom, what God calls us to do, and with worldly power, but by walking with Him and listening to Him. And by the way, on this Mount of Transfiguration, that was the big message. Right? Just like at the beginning of Epiphany, the issue wasn't really the star. The star was to shine light so people would understand the significance of Jesus. At the end of Epiphany here, at the Mount of Transfiguration, it's not the ooh and the ah about the brightness and the dazzling white clothes. It's about the voice of God. And what does God say? I think it's in verse 35. He says, a voice came out of this cloud and He says, this is My Son. Not only the identification of who He is, but this charge. It says, listen to Him. Don't be conformed to the world, but listen to Him. And look at John 6 and verse 63. My words are spirit. My words are life. Boy, if I'm to avoid conformity to the world, and I'm supposed to first of all listen to Him, I better be in my Bible. That's where I'm going to hear the words of life. That's where I'm going to hear the word of the Spirit. And so make today a day of transfiguration in your life. I submit to you that you will not be ready. You will not be ready to face the path ahead. Remember, I don't want to get into the philosophical question, did Jesus really need this? Did He need this reminder from His Father, you are My beloved Son? Did He need the companionship of Moses and Elijah? I mean, we can speculate, maybe that's true, maybe that's not true. But somehow in the providence of God, God encouraged Jesus Himself because of what was ahead. And what was ahead was the passion and His death. For some of us, passion and death is not far ahead. Right? 70 are the years of a man's life. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet are the days labor and trouble. Are we ready for the passion ahead in our own lives? And I submit to you, without the transfiguration, the metamorpho that God promises to us, we will not be ready to face our passion. We'll not be ready to face that path ahead until the transformation that comes from Christ begins within us. And then we can face anything. Back in Luke 9 and 35, we need to say goodbye to the world and to worldly ways. I mean, again, Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, they were looking for more. Nothing wrong with that. They were searching for something else. Who hasn't done that? They were tired of the modern world. They were trying to figure out, how is it that I'm going to fill this void of this shallow life that I have? And St. Augustine said, O Lord, You have made us for Yourself, and our hearts are not at rest until they find rest in Thee. If you want out of this shallow existence, this shallow existence that is causing millions and millions of our youngest and our best people to overdose on opioids. If you want out of that shallow existence, dive into the deep, deep love of Jesus. Father God in heaven, thank you for this Mount of Transfiguration that we stand upon today. Father, thank you for its significance in the life of Jesus. Thank you that it bookended so well all of these matters of the Epiphany, and that it was the step before the Passion and the Exodus. Father, help us to be those, as your word claims for us to have, to take participation and possession of this transfiguration in our own heart, our own mind, our own lives. And may it be done to your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name.